Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Say, this is the White Trash Revival, episode 52, and I'm your host, Donnie fucking Cash. Well, I hope you folks enjoyed last week's episode, the Trials and Tribulations of Bob Wayne. I want to thank Bob Wayne and Karen, the Queen of White Trash, for doing that. Well, got a good show lined up for yous. I have a guest. I said, I have a guest. And as I told you last week, the guest is going to be Adam Lee Cogswell from the band Cogswell. So, fuck. Please don't let me bore you any longer. Let's just go ahead and jump into this show head first. Like the way I like to dive between my lady's legs head first. Yes, Lord. But before I get to diving, just let me inform you kind folks that I did open up the show with a song called Born to Boogie, by a band called Flatfoot, so I hope you enjoyed that song. They got an awesome CD, so here, now let me get to diving.
Of an atomic bomb can come at any time, no matter where you may be.
But my mind got to rolling. kiddling. I used to cut your kiddling. Then I made you some fire. Then I turned on your mother. Well, away, away from the Bible Bible.
Remind those men they need to answer me on the radio, even if they're dead.
Who's
All right, folks, we started off this set with the Fountain City Ramblers with a song called 17 Times. And that kind of reminds me of a record that I have, you know, my personal best. And I've told you folks about it a few times on previous episodes. And my record that kind of coincides with this song is one day I stayed home from school because I found my parents' porn stash and I masturbated 16 times in a 6-hour period. Oh my God. Was my Peter raw and sore. I think after that, my Peter got a restraining order on me. And every time I'd have to piss, I'd pretty much get arrested. But we've made up since then. I promise not to hurt him again. And, you know, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. You know, when a guy drinks, they don't know what they're going to do. Following them was the Whalebone Farmhouse with I'd Rather Be the Devil. Well, I'll tell you who I'd rather be. And that's fucking Warren Buffett, multi-billionaire that owns Walmart. Well, I guess that'd pretty much be the same, wouldn't it? And ending this set was Hellbilly Club with Zombie Faces. Speaking of zombies, the other day I watched George Romero's new flick, Survival of the Dead, and I was extremely disappointed. I am a fan of George Romero, and I'm a fan of zombie flicks, but that movie fucking sucked. I'd rather go to any alley in Worst Town America and beat off a baker's dozen of homeless men than have to watch that fucking movie again, because that's how bad it sucked. Alright, let's get in this next set, and then we'll have Adam Lee on here real soon, so I do hope you enjoy. Yes, sir.
Seen my dirty magazine.
Yeah, she's a thrasher like an elephant in an epileptic fit. Then she'll neigh all night till I can't take it anymore. But I still got a few tricks up my sleeve, and they don't involve loving. Yeah, you best believe that has anybody seen my dirty magazine?
You look just like your mother, especially below the belt. And your infantile behavior makes me ill. Maybe a bullet through the chest would make your cruel heart finally melt. And if I don't put it there myself, you know, not only are you bad in bed, you're ugly and naive. And has anybody seen my dirty magazine?
There's a box of Twinkies in that grocery store. Not just any box of Twinkies, the last box of Twinkies that anyone will enjoy in the whole universe. Believe it or not, Twinkies have an expiration date. Someday very soon, life's little Twinkie gauge is gonna go empty.
Still cry when I hear her sing. The clock struck 12. The voice I love so well was eaten up by the machine. Was eaten up by the machine.
Thank you. concert, Oklahoma City, back in January this year?
Yep.
You go to a party in a hotel afterwards?
Yep.
Well, then I got the right fella. Listen, my name is Roy D. Mercer. And I believe you met my daughter.
Yep.
She was there. Leticia?
Meet too many people there.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to call you and tell you that you's about 4 months away from being a daddy. Yeah, it ain't funny. You get your life and dying right now, son.
Well, that's real fun because I didn't ever mess with anybody up there. I had my cousin, who's a man. We come hauling ass in there and hauling ass out.
You can deny it all you want to. I didn't figure you'd be man enough to fess up to it.
How you doing?
Well, I ain't doing very good right now. I'm getting ready to be a grandpa. Roy D. Mercer from Fairfax, Oklahoma.
I like that.
You ain't gonna like it when I get over and whoop your smart ass.
Bring it on.
I will bring it on. By God, you might remember she big boozing.
No, I'm sorry. I don't remember anybody. I had my cousin there with me, and there were a couple of friends of mine there, musicians, old friend, him and his wife, and we were out of there.
Listen, I don't want you to make it good. I don't want no son-in-law. I just want you to pay for your mistake and be a man about it.
Well, I am a man, and I'm a man true, so that's not a problem.
$200 a month is what we're needing out of you.
Really?
Yeah.
You think so?
Take care and support your child.
Yeah, well, I got a cat, you know.
Yeah, by God. You're getting ready to get an ass whooping. What you're getting ready to get? On top of
the wrong person.
Beg your pardon?
I think you're from the wrong person.
I think you did too.
I think you're from the wrong person.
I guarantee you. Does she got a Tasmanian devil tattoo on her right shoulder that bring back anything?
No.
She wouldn't fess up to it, Diane.
She don't know who I am. She couldn't scrap me. She saw me.
Well, for a long while she couldn't, but we got a traveling hypnotist to come through town.
You know who goes, I'm a hero. We don't ever pay no bill. Well, they like to ride around, rolling down them rusty rails. We'll take a gander, there's the rambler, with a stogie and a stingy brim. And his spit shine shoes, he's looking sharp for the shape he's in. With a pick lock in his coin sock.
Alright, motherfuckers. We start off this set with Nathan Payne, and the song was called Dirty Magazine. Something that I am very fond of. You know, as a kid growing up, was a dirty magazine. You know, a good Hustler magazine? Man, you couldn't beat that. And I'll tell you what else you can't beat. Especially if you stay home from school and do it 16 times in one day. Anyway, following Nathan Payne, we did a little Jason Webley. A little something different, and the song's called Drinking Song. You know, with me, any song's a fucking drinking song, except fucking songs of CMT. Fuck that. We ended the set with a song from the legendary Shack Shakers' new album, Agridustrial, or however the hell you pronounce it. And the song is called Hobos Are My Heroes. You know, I remember one time when my brother dared me to jump a train when I was 9 years old, and I did, and I rode it from fucking Ohio to California. And them hobos sure did treat me kindly. They fed me beans and kept me warm at night. And I'm not going to tell you how they kept me warm at night, because after a while I thought I was pregnant. Anyways, before we get in this interview, let's go ahead and do a song by Big Jugs. And it's off their new album. And this song here is called Lizzie the Lesbian. So let's do this song right here, and we'll just jump straight into the fucking interview. And we're going to do it raw, folks. We're going to do it with no protection, because that's exactly how I roll. No protection. And I'm also the kind of guy that'll share a needle. So, hell yes.
Lizzie was a lesbian, and she had nothing to do with men. Rubber dicks is all she would receive. She had a real one once or twice, but she swore it didn't feel as nice as a woman's fingers up her beak. I knew Lizzie back in school. Me and her were always cool. Sometimes we'd ditch class to drink and talk. Lizzie liked to talk about sex, and when she did, what happened next is I would try to convert her to cop. Yes, I'd say, Lizzie, let me tell you something about sucking dicks. It's just like eating pussy, like pussy on a stick. May I please make one request before you give up on guys? I think tonight you should give my dick a try. Lizzie moved away out to the San Francisco Bay. I do admit I missed her quite a lot. When summer came, she rolled around. I saw her at a bar in town, and we caught up over some whiskey shots. As we drank, it all came back about the old days ditching class. The alcohol was blurred the lines of time. Told me about the college breast, and she asked about my last conquest. Nothing had changed, and sex was on her mind. Just like every other time, I asked if she'd go down. She said, okay, but just this once. But can you tell me how? So I said, Lizzie, let me tell you something about sucking dicks. It's just like eating pussy, like pussy on a stick. May I please make one request before you give up on guys?
like eating pussy, like pussy on a stick.
Pussy on a stick.
May I please make
May
one request?
Make one
give up on guys. I think tonight you should give my dick a try.
Are you kidding me? We conduct a nationwide manhunt for you and you're boning the suspect? What did you think this was? A joke? Let's divert federal resources and man hours so I can have my collegiate lesbian fling in style.
I was doing research.
I'll bet.
All right, folks, with me on the phone, I have Adam Lee from the band Cogswell. How's it going, Adam?
Pretty good. How about you, Lee?
Not too bad. My wife's gone, so the day's going to get better. Especially when I get this malt liquor in me.
There you go.
All right, let's introduce yourself to my listeners out there. Tell them where you come from, what you're all about.
Well, my name is Adam Lee Cogswell. I'm from Phoenix, Arizona, and I played in a solo acoustic for the last 3 years. And just this last year, I've actually picked up a band and formed kind of just to put together and named it the Cogswell Band. So we've been trucking hard right now, trying to get our set right, trying to, we put a CD out here in April, Don't Mess With Our Jewels, where we have two live recordings on there, and we were on tour with the Honey Cut. That was a good tour, we had a good time, but we've just been kind of trying to go through the transition right now. We came back from tour, had to get a new drummer, so we came back from tour, and we just kind of had to rebuild some things. But right now, we're back on the floor, doing everything again. And just glad to be out there, glad to be on the radio show right now. Thanks for having me out.
No problem. Now, how many CDs you got out? You got two, am I correct?
Yeah, I have a solo CD called Balls Deep in the Bible Belt. And that one was on my first tour up the West Coast. I put that one out really quick. If you want to get to know the project that I'm doing right now, that's one of those rare gems that you can find. And I don't have too many of those left, actually. There's a couple up on TV right now. And I think I sent you like one of my last five copies. And that CD, not really pushing it that much, but it's a fun CD to listen to. And then the second one is the one I mentioned earlier, that Don't Mess With Our Jewels.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, do you like the solo better, or do you like being in a band better?
That's a tough question, actually. They're equal different each way, because I love playing solo sometimes, but, sometimes you don't get the feel when you have a full band behind you.
Right.
Solo is a different world, you're standing up there, you don't have anybody backing you, you don't have nothing going on except you. You're the main deal, basically. So if you get up there, fuck up, everyone's gonna know. The best part about having a band is you kind of have a buffer zone, so if you get a little bit drunk that night, if you're stoned and you get up there and you kind of mess up a chord here or there, you can always catch yourself back up because you got two other people and you're standing back to the body you need to be. So it's kind of nice to have a band. I like having a band over being solo. I did solo for so long that it was just, I wasn't really getting that fulfillment from it. So, 8 months ago when I picked up Irish Mike, who played mandolin and 12-string, he just came into the project, and we just got together one weekend and drank some beers, smoked some weed, and just jammed with each other, and we're like, wow, this is sounding really good, and he kept on to what I was doing, getting him in the project, and then adding the drums to it, too, just added a whole other thing to it, and just, I've seen people who see me solo, and then they'll see me with a band, and they'll come up, and they'll say, it's in the back.
Yeah.
So I'm up for either one. I don't mind either one of them. They're both great in my opinion. But if I had to choose, I'd love playing with bands.
Yeah. Now, a couple of the artists I've had on my show that were once in bands and do solo now, they said they like doing the solo because there's not any drama. They don't miss the drama that goes on with being in a band.
Yeah. That is true. That's one thing you gotta have to... got to get to know, you know, you got to get to know the people that you have to be in this project sometimes. And if you rush into it, you know, sometimes, you know, you get somebody in there that's just a sour apple and you kind of get, you know it's going from the beginning, you know, this is going to end, you know, and it's not going to end pretty. And nobody, you know, all bands have drama. I guess it's the only way that you can survive is the way that you react to the drama. You know, if you react to the drama in a way that's just going to keep the drama going, then yeah, basically it's a doomed band from the very beginning. But if you kind of just, you know, let people do what they want to do, you know, somebody, like I've always told people, you know, if you want to quit, just tell me, you know, you can quit. I mean, it's not a big deal to me, you know, there's musicians out there, you know. And it is a kind of a pain in the ass when you have to replace somebody after putting on all that time and work with somebody. But that's part of the curve. So, yeah, I guess I can see where the solo part has that advantage.
Where do you get the inspiration to write your songs?
Well, there's so much going on right now, you know. I mean, you got all the world problems that are happening, plus, you know, like my personal problems, you know. Just, you know, I mean, I kind of write with emotions a little bit here and there. You know, I go with what I know. Because right. I've been playing guitar my whole life, in and out of bands my whole life, so I know about the band dramas, and I know about the ups and downs of bands. And I guess the inspiration will just basically come from myself and a lot of other musicians out there that I see trucking along doing the same thing. I've gotten a lot of inspiration from James Honeycutt, and when I went on that tour with him, me and him really got along, got to know each other really well. And he taught me a lot of things, you know, that I didn't know. After I thought, you know, wow, I've been doing music for a long time. I know what's going on here. And, you know, Jerry comes along and teaches me a whole new side of it. And I'm just like, wow, man. I mean, that's a good inspiration right there. Because that guy, he trucks it all over the world, all over the country, basically. And that's his livelihood right there. You know, that's what he does, is his music. And that's somebody who I look up to. And that's what I like to do. You know, I like to live off my music as much as I can right now. And,
James, he gave up a pretty good job to follow his dreams, and a lot of people thought he was crazy for doing it.
Oh, yeah. When he went to solo acoustic, after playing with Wayne Hancock, I mean, he was just, yeah, I know what you mean. That's when I first met James, is when he was Wayne Hancock's last show here in Phoenix at the Rhythm Room, and I was doing merchandise for Wayne that night, and I met James that night. He had a nice, fresh train tattoo on his arm, and me and him talked a little bit, and then about 3 months later, he came through town again as a solo artist. When he came through town, I played with him. Me and him played in front of two people. It was a little bar in Phoenix on a Sunday night, and I sat there, I listened to the man's set, and, you know, it was uplifting. I listened to it, and was like, man, it was like, if somebody can go from, you know, the Wayne Hancock band and then come out and do solo just like this, it gave me the courage and the inspiration to push on with my music too.
Yeah, and James is very versatile in many different styles of music. Not many people can do that.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
All right, Adam, how about we jump into the first song?
All right, we're going to play Hope Falls Short.
Okay. How'd you come up with that one?
That one is just like I was talking about earlier, you know, like when you're down, you know, and this one was over a breakup I had with a girlfriend, and you know, that's something me and James kind of share, too, that there's some of our songs, you know, that we write are very similar in the lyrics, to where we talk about the emotions that we had from an old breakup, you know, an old friend that we had that passed away or something, and then we put that into our music, you know, and that song is a perfect representation of what we like to do, and it's a slower one of our songs, and it's got a nice mandolin over it, you know, and it's got a nice little marching drum beat to it, so it's one of my favorite songs on the album.
And I think in order to be a good songwriter, you have to live the songs you sing about.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's do it.
Snail mail as a prayer's on lost and snail mail. Now tears fill your eyes as I say my goodbyes, 'cause hard times bound to come. We're in the best of luck to one that falls in love.
Now, you mentioned before that you just got back from tour, right?
Yeah, in April.
And how long did that tour consist of?
About 17 days.
17 days?
Yeah.
What's the farthest you went?
We went all the way towards East Texas. We pretty much did around the East Texas. And we went to like 10 and below. Down to we went to Longview, from the punk nut, hooking up with a good bar out there called Benny. That's just between Dallas and Shreveport, over there by Tyler, Texas. And we shot around all of Texas, you know, one time to Austin, and went over to kind of think of the route we actually went. We did all the major cities down there in Texas, you know, we had a good time. And then we ended up actually through Oklahoma, and then up towards Kansas, then back through Colorado, then through Utah, and then came back home. Yeah. And we came back home through Prescott, and then that was our last show in Prescott, and then it was a good tour, man. We had a good time, you know. I mean, it was nice to share the road with James. And you learn so much about the road, you know. That's probably one of the longest tours I've been on. And so to get out there and experience all that and meet all those new people is fun.
So when are you going to go back out again?
Well, right now we're wanting to write some new music, because the music that we're playing right now is about to, it's one. probably will be on the road before April of next year again.
Okay. How long does it usually take you to sit down and write a CD?
I got a lot of songs that have been on the back burner because I've been really busy with what I was doing, so I haven't taken the time to sit down and actually, structure all the stuff I have in my head right now. It depends, each song is different in their own way. Some songs will come together in an afternoon, and some songs that I've been working on for a couple of years, trying to just find that one right riff I want to put in there. And, it depends on basically the environment I'm in, the mood I'm in, the mood that we're all in, and we're kind of jamming. We always get on, when we're at practice and stuff, we always sit there and we'll start jamming out.
Let me ask you this. Is a musician your livelihood, or do you have a job outside of your music? Getting another song.
The West. last bottle runs out again, my friend. And I think it's time to get in that old discussion. Well, our fists meet our face and we end up on the ground rolling. And I'll take my anchor out on the whiskey bottle, my friend. And I'll drink the whiskey dry and stay home, get high, get real drunk the next night and go out looking for a fight. Because old number seven's beyond the friend I need. And I'll drink Tennessee dry till it gets the best of me. Now we're down in this deadland. It's where you'll find me in my camp, with a little bit of smoke and a whole lot of wine. Now this good old redneck's gonna show you all how to have a damn big old time. So I'll drink the whiskey dry and stay home and get high, get real drunk the next night and go out looking for the one night. Because old number seven's the only friend I need. Tennessee dry till it gets the best of me.
Adam, tell me who's some of the people that you have shared the stage with. To share the stage with that you haven't.
I've seen them a couple times when they come into town. They're one of those bands that you listen to when you're Another band I'd probably like to share stage with is Drive By Truckers. I really like those guys. I've always liked those guys from the first few that they put out. And those guys have been a big inspiration. Hope the third's great, too. I mean, I've been to a lot of his shows, and, I've tried my best to try to get on some of his shows, but I'd love to share stage with Hope the third. You know, he's always put on a powerful show. That's just, it'd be hard to compare, you know, it'd be like, wow, well,
yeah. Now, on your next tour that you're going to do, how far are you going to go out? Are you going to make it like my way in the Midwest, or what?
That's still up for debate right now. We've been talking about going back out to where we went, you know, like the Midwest area, you know, in Georgia and stuff. We've also talked about going up the West Coast.
Now, when you do your tours, do you have a van, or do you guys rent one, or what? How you do it?
Yeah, we got a van. I actually I traded a vehicle to one of my cousins for my utility van, and he had this utility van to where he had to drive up and down from Phoenix to the drive stop, and so they built the van so that he could sleep in it. So he went to the hotel room. So, you know, I fell in love with the van as soon as I saw it, you know, so. I traded a 94 Blazer for it, straight across. And we took that on our last April tour, and that was nice because the back seat folded down into a queen size mattress, I think. And it's got power for the inside, so all you have to do is take an extension cord and plug it into the bottom of the van, and you've got outlets throughout the whole van and everything. So, I mean, it's just like a little tiny motorhome, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, you can't beat that.
Yeah, no, that's the best way to do it, you know, because when you're on the road, the last thing you want to do is spend money on hotel rooms and stuff, and, you know, you want to conserve money as much as possible, and be able to sleep in your van, and be comfortable at the same time, in my opinion, you win.
All right, what does the rest of the year look like for you guys?
We're in August, we're going back to San Angelo, Texas. We're going to go... There with our friends Antique Scream. We're going to share some dates with them. We got about 3 dates in Arizona, one in like Flagstaff, Prescott, and then Mesa. And then we're going to try to do like a next weekend, like a 4-day trip out towards Texas. And they're just playing the Dead Horse in San Angelo on the 20th of August. And then from there, on that Saturday, right now I'm looking for somewhere either like in New Mexico or somewhere more north of Texas, you know, in the Panhandle State or something else. So just, you know, I want to get out as much as possible and play anywhere where people are looking for us. And we want to, you know, right now we're focusing on just writing some new stuff and wanting to, expand our set a little bit more. Right now we have a good hour worth of material, and we want to try to, you know, bump up another hour. And see where it goes from there.
Right. So when are you estimating that the CD will be out?
Kind of think now. Kind of put a month all together in my head, but hopefully by this time next year we'll be talking about the new release of the CD.
Okay. Do you have a name for it, or a couple names, or?
No, that's one of those things where we kind of just get together, you know, like the first one that I had, the Balls Deep in the Bible Belt. We were just all pissed drunk one night, just laughing, you know, looking at the artwork for the CD, and just came up with the name Balls Deep in the Bible Belt. One of my buddies, you know, threw it out there, and I was like, I like it, let's do it. And then the last one, Don't Mess With Our Jewels, we kind of kept with the fall theme, if you know what I mean, you know?
Yeah.
We kept with the theme, though, and it worked really well because our drummer at the time, her name was Jewel. So, the CD cover is pretty funny with us sitting behind her while she's on the drum kit. It was like, Don't Mess With Our Jewels, you know.
Yeah.
Talking about her kind of a thing. So, you know, I don't know if our next record's going to get back to I'm looking forward to just writing some new material with some other artists, you know, get some other people in the melting pot.
Yeah. Now, do you have a record label, or is everything pretty much just independent, you guys?
Yeah, this is all independent right now. Luckily, you know, from the people that I've known that's worked in this music business for a while, I know that to get some good deals on recordings and some good deals on merchandise and stuff, you know. And,
yeah.
That really cuts the cost a lot on, you know, merchandise. And, you know, if you have to go out and pay full price on merchandise, it's really hard to do it on your own.
Yeah. Now let's say we got an artist from somewhere in the United States that listens to my show and they like your sound and style and maybe they'd be interested in, you know, doing something with you guys. How could they go about getting a hold of you?
They can find us on our MySpace page, myspace.com/AdamLeeCogswell. I'm also on Facebook too, Adam Lee Cogswell, and I do bookings here in Phoenix too. Jason and the Punk Nuts came through a couple of years ago, and then we had a place to play. So I set them up for the night, and they gave them a nice place to play. And anytime someone's coming through town, you know, if they're not getting calls back from some of the bigger venues or some of the, you know, guarantees that they got, you know, I always put bands up for the night at my place, and I'm always putting shows together just because I want to do the bands, you know, because that's how I started doing this, because when I first started doing solo, even though a lot of promoters in town knew who I was, they didn't really trust that my solo thing was going to be so good. So I just said, fuck it, man, I'm gonna promote my own shows. So that's when I started calling bands, you know, I called Pushing Rope from San Diego, and they actually know, they got a hold of me, actually, and they were coming through town. I set those guys up for a night, and we jammed at one of the local bars here, and they got paid enough to get to the next town, you know, so I mean, that's all I'm doing is I'm trying to support anybody who's coming on the road. So if anybody from out of state coming to Arizona and they just want to get a something or a show where you, you know, make sure you can get enough gas money to get to the next town and a place to stay, more than welcome to give me a call, man. I'm always up for it.
Hell yeah. And that's what it's all about, the brotherhood.
Exactly.
Hey, next time you talk to Push and Rope, you tell them motherfuckers to hurry up and get me my goddamn CD.
I'll definitely do that. Yeah.
You know, doing this show, and a lot of artists say, hey, what do you got up your way as a place to play? And, you know, it really pisses me off. I'll contact some of these places and tell them, hey, I do an internet radio show, and, you know, I'm always talking with artists, and they're looking for places to play. But none of them motherfuckers contact me back.
Oh, yeah.
And that really pisses me off, because, for one, I'd like to see some of these folks in my neck of the woods. And, you know, let them make some money. And I think it sucks how they don't contact me.
Yeah, I feel your pain on that one, buddy, because when me and Jay's booking this last month, you know, I was sending out at least 12 to 15 emails a day to bars and stuff, and I'd be lucky to even get a reply back from you, know, that. I mean, it's a hit and miss, you know, a lot of these bars, you know, depends on their status at the time. You know, there's a lot of, I've heard so many bands that will go out on the road, and from the time that they left town, from the time that they get to the other town, that bar is already closed down and done for. So, I mean, if they're hitting mess with some of these bars, you know, I mean, you got to really kind of give them feeling like they're getting the benefit of putting on a show now.
Yeah.
And you got to give them like this. You got to kind of have to rub them the right way, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, offer up a sound guy, you know, or a door guy, do something. You know, I've tried so many tricks besides doing the clubs that I like, you know, just because I knew that my crowd would love to come hang out at this bar. And sometimes, you know, club owner is just not the type of person you want to deal with, you know, and you got to walk away. And I've been in your shoes, man. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, where would you like to be in the next 5 years?
5 years, I'm going to be still playing music. I can tell you that. I'd like to be living on the road. I'd like to have a camper or a nice bus living on the road or something.
Yeah.
I've always been a road junkie. I love to be on the road as much as possible. And I just want to people as I can, you know, and just have a good time. And as long as I'm having a good time, you know, and if I can get paid for it, I'll be happy.
Yeah. All right. Well, before we end the interview, let's tell the folks where they can pick your music up at.
Yeah, you can pick our music up at right now we're on CD Baby. You got our CDs up there for sale. You can also find us on iTunes and Napster. You know, a lot of those MP3 sites. You know, you can either search Adam Ray Cosgrove and find my solo stuff, or you can search just Cosgrove and find the band material. And right now that's about online, and then coming out to our shows is enough place to get a cool. We have t-shirts and hats and stickers and stuff, so we're always, you know, it's all affordable too, because you know everybody out there is just as broke as we are. We try not to, you know, overprice our merchandise, you know, especially if I'm getting a deal on it, you know, I try to give, you know, the fans a deal on it at least, you know, so that's what we like to do.
All right, well, I want to end the interview with a song that I think is probably one of the best fucking songs I've ever heard. And I'm not blowing smoke up your ass. I'm being truthful. And I want to do Levi's Blood. Would you like me to play the extended version or the acoustic?
The extended version.
Okay. And tell me how you came up with this song.
Well, that song, it came together about 2 years ago. I had the music in my head for a good couple of years, and the riff, I had that down, and it was the first time I ever went to Texas, actually, when I wrote that song, because I went over to East Texas over there in Longview. I had a cousin move out there, and when he moved out there, he kind of figured out of just, you know, following some of his genealogy that a lot of our family roots is from that area of East Texas area. And he actually found a Cosmo Art Center over towards Tyler, Texas a little bit. And so me and him were on a tour a little bit through some old family grave sites. And one of the oldest grave sites we came across was Levi. And he was around the 1800s or something. And we sat there for a while. And it was in front of this old Baptist church. Baptist church in the middle of nowhere. And, we kind of had those moments, you know, where you kind of find where your family has gone through time, you know, and you look at all these grave sites, you know, and you just kind of just, you know, appreciate, you know, where they were at that time, because if they weren't there, then I wouldn't be here. So I'm kind of, I got back to the house that night, and I had my guitar with me, and I was on the back porch, and I was just picking, you know, looking at some of the fireflies, you know, because from Arizona, we don't get those. We don't get fireflies. It's kind of nice to sit there and just watch that and watch that sometimes. And I started playing and started just kind of humming some tunes to myself about this Levi's Blood, you know, Levi's Grave and all this stuff. And I had an uncle of mine that was there at the same time. And we came together and we wrote this poem called Levi's Blood. And we both sat there, you know, and we liked it a lot. So I took it, and I had the music there, and I messed with the poem a little bit here and there, but pretty much the same thing from that. Me and my uncle came together and wrote that, and so it's one of those moments, you know, where a lot of family took place to get that song to where it is. And every now and then, you know, when we're on our last tour, you know, just driving through Nacogdoches, Texas out there reminds me a lot, because it's really close to where Levi's Blood is. And so next time on our tour, when we get out there to East Texas, we'll try to definitely go visit the grave site with the full band and get some pictures taken.
Hell yeah.
I got some pictures on the MySpace page from when I went there before. You'll be able to see where the song kind of came from.
All right, well, let's do it. And thank you for being on my show, Adam. I do appreciate it.
Hey, thank you guys for having me out, and I appreciate everything you're doing for this genre of music right now, man. Taking your time, man. I like it. It's good fun.
All right. Thank you.
Texans call you back. When the top of the railway will stop, you better go. Way out, dead gone, and you moved on, go. Where the fire blood still flows, that grave on the hill, where me
back, students. And remember, the school nurse is in and ready to take your voluntary urine sample. Show your Lawndale High spirit with the gift of urine.
Ew!
And that right there was a double penetration of the Staggerers. And I played two songs by the Staggerers because on episode 50, when I played a song by them, Kill Deliver, something happened to the program and it got fucked up to where it played really slow and I was really embarrassed and felt bad. So I played a little two-song part here for the Staggerers. And for y'all, I started off with Go to Hell, and I followed it with Pit Bulls Don't Play Banjo, and that's off their album, Year of the Bastard. And speaking of double penetration, that's the way Grandma used to like it. Yes, Loud. But she was a slut.
Tell me.
becoming apparent to me that you are not only not competent to hold your job, you could not even run a game of strip poker in a Turkish brothel.
This old truck has been around the clock. The windshield's cracked and the doors don't lock. Paintwork's faded and a street that will rust. It's just a case of in God we trust. Well, the whites and Kenworths carrying their loads, rolling down these sun-baked roads, each driver looking like a final run. There's no escaping this punishing sun. Time and tide wait for no man, so get it delivered while you can. Head on back, pick up your wage. It ain't the age, it's the mileage. Well, an old arch car semi-signals to pass. I can't keep up, cause I'm low on gas. Vacuum's low and the temperature's high. I'm shifting gears, gonna give it a try. Cases leak, transmissions grind and the axles whine. But if I lose it, my job's on the line. Well, a Mac, Peterbilt, Ford GMC, Dodge International and a Diamond T. Vying for space on this long freeway. It's another dollar and another day. Well,
time and tide wait for no man. Get it delivered while you can. Head on back, pick up your wage. It ain't the age, it's the mileage.
This old truck has been around the clock. The windshield's cracked and the doors don't lock. Suspension sagging from overload. I'm sad to say, looks like the end of the road.
There is nothing I like better than kicking your ass all night long. Except maybe eggs.
West is facing east, and north is facing south. Don't you let nobody tell you what it's all about, cause it's just a bad situation, like waiting for a train wreck. Yeah, it's the story of my life. Yeah, I got a woman and a wife. Man can earn some money and have a little drink. It don't really matter what anybody thinks, cause it's just a bad situation, like waiting for a train. Yeah, it's the story of my life. Yeah, I got a woman and a wife. you got no money, I tell you where to go. Just don't tell nobody that I told you so, 'cause it's just a bad situation, like waiting for a train. Yeah, it's the story of my life. Hey, I got a woman and a wife. Facing east, north is facing south. Just don't tell nobody that you know what it's all about, 'cause it's just a bad situation, like waiting for a train. Yeah, it's the story of my life. Got a woman and a wife. Yeah, and a wife. Yeah, and a
this set with a great fucking band called Swindle P. Hurst, and the song is Big Old Plastic Cock. I fucking love any song about a big old plastic cock, especially when a gal sings it. And no, I will not tell the story of the time my wife hit me in the ass with the big old plastic cock. Following that was a band from, I do believe, Europe. It was the Sunsets with It Ain't the Age. And we ended the set with Lazy Brad Lewis with Woman and a Wife. The song says it all right there. And I want to thank all three of them groups for sending me CDs. It means a lot to... Havians want me to play your music. on my show, because I do this for the music. That's right. All right, folks. Well, I hope everyone had a great 4th of July. Mine was terrific. My wife kind of planned a last-minute trip to Tennessee. Went to Gatlinburg, Pigeon Forge area. And had a real good time. Got to go to the Ernest Tubb record shop, which was fucking awesome. Got to watch a couple bluegrass bands play out in the gazebo in the front parking lot. And we did all kinds of shit. Had a real good time. And, I spent a shitload of money. Pretty much came back broke. Yeah, so that, sucked in the aspect of the whole trip. Oh, fuck. Let's see here. Next week, I don't know if I told you this at the beginning of the show or not. Usually I don't do the show all in one setting. I do it in bits and pieces and during drunken stupors. Next week, I will have Caleb Clowder on here. And I got another interview lined up and probably another one after that. And, you know, the show's looking up. Dig that. Yes, I do. And, fuck. I don't know. I hope you guys enjoyed last week's episode with Bob Wayne. Was that awesome or what? Yes, it was. All right. Let's go ahead and get in this last set. And, yeah. That's it. We'll get in this last set. You know what I'm saying? So please, enjoy this last set. Stop it, Grandpa.
For the record, I don't like the way this turned out any more than you do. This is the world we live in. And justice does not always prevail. It's not the Wild West where you can clean up the streets with a gun. Even though sometimes that's exactly what's needed.
I don't care if it rains or freezes, long as I got my plastic Jesus sitting on the dashboard of my car. It comes in colors, pink and blazing, glows in the dark, cause it's iridescent.
Travel far. said it before, and I'm gonna say it again. There ain't no way, no way that you could come from my loins.
This is that was last set right here. And if you hear any kids in the background, my youngest daughter's having a sleepover with about 6 kids, and I gotta work tomorrow. So thank you to my wife that did not ask me, because why should she? She runs this house, the Iron Fist. All right, start off we started off this set with the Groovy Rednecks, and I had a hard time picking a song because every fucking song on their CD is funny and awesome. But I went with Made in Japan, and it's a great song, what can I say? Following that was Angry Johnny and the Killbillies with Jesus, Please Come On Down. Please Come On Down, you're the next contestant of The Price is Right. I bet Jesus and Bob Barker went to the same high school. What do you think? We ended the set with Viva La Vox with Desperation Alley. And that's a good band, Viva La Vox. If you guys like the goddamn Gallows, you will like Viva La Vox because they have a pretty similar style. And, shit, I can't talk real dirty because I got a bunch of little kids around here. So, I'm just going to go ahead and end the show for tonight. And, remember next week, episode 53, I will have Caleb Clowder on. So, be on the lookout for that one. And I'm going to end the show tonight with another Jason Webley song, whom my buddy Edwin Clarence Graves introduced me to him. Thank you for turning me on to him. And the song here is Icarus, or Icarus, or whatever the fuck you want to say it. Hell, half you motherfuckers can't talk right either. So, enjoy. And I'll see you folks next week. Motherfuckers. Woohoo! Yeah, gotta say it quietly. You know, quietly, the way Uncle Doug used to sneak in my room and hold me down and make me do things that still make me wet the bed as a 37-year-old man, and every now and then I cry myself to sleep. Therapy don't help. Therapy does not help. I'll tell you what does help. Fucking heroin. You forget everything. Yes, Lord. Have a good one, folks.
Every morning to the sound of motors roaring, they are drowning out the voices in my head. At night while I am sleeping, I can hear the angels speaking, but I can't recall a single thing they said. I see their lips move clearly, I feel their presence near me, but each word they try to tell me just slips through the cracks. I push, I strain, I wrestle with my brain, and then a voice from somewhere whispers to relax. Say a word for sickness, she is my favorite mistress. Yes, she knows my body like no other can. My flesh and spirit keep colliding when her fingers are inside me. Oh my God, lady, I'm your man. Fever, flu, malaria, come near me, do not spare me. I just long to spend another night under a tent. I wrench, I shake, I cry until I break, and then I feel something release and I relax. Inside this maze, I've never been too good at this damn kind of thing. I've been here with my father, I'm just pacing, but he's smarter. He's been building a fantastic set of wings. And like that, I'm up and flying with the labyrinth behind me. But I go too high, the sun is melting through the wet. It burns, it hurts, I tumble to the earth. And as I fall, I feel myself relax. every morning, the sound of motors roaring, they're drowning out these voices in my head. Night while I am sleeping, I still hear the angels speaking, but I can't recall a single thing they say. I see their lips move clearly, I feel their presence near me, but all their unearthly wisdom just slips through the cracks. I push, I strain, I wrestle with my pain. I retch, I shake, I cry until I break. It burns, it hurts, I tumble through the earth, and as I fall, I feel myself relax.
If you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com has what you need. .com names as low as $1.99. Plus, the world-class hosting, fast and easy website builders, and much, much more. Plus, when you enter the code POD149 when you check out, you'll save an additional 10% off your web hosting order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. Some restrictions apply. See site for details.